Great, thank you, Florin. Good morning. Service, you might have already clicked, is a little bit different this morning. Oh dear, what does that mean? Okay, I want you to put your fingers on your wrist, just about there. What can you feel? One of the children, what can you feel? What's it called? Any ideas? What is it? What is it?
Pulse.
Pulse, yeah, it's a pulse. And that means you're alive, and you can check your heart rate. Now, you can check it lots of ways. And if you keep counting for 30 seconds and double it, you know how fast your heart's going. And if you do it when you go home, when you're resting and relaxed. And I'm walking around, so my heart rate at the moment, you can do it on various apps. Let me just do it on here now, just quickly, my heart rate, because I'm walking around, and of course it's very stressful talking to you all. Let's see what my heart rate says now. Ooh, gosh, it's high. Let's have a look, see if it'll come slowly down. Let's see what my heart rate is at the moment. That's very high. Must be very stressful here talking to you, moving around. I wasn't expecting to be quite that high. Okay, my heart rate, because I'm moving around and a bit out of breath, is 104. That's high. I expected to be more like the 70s. That's actually about 45 higher than it normally is. My heart rate is normally around late 50s. How do you know I'm telling the truth? How do you know? How do you know that's my heart rate? You don't. You don't know. You don't know that's my heart rate. You only know it because you think I'm fairly trustworthy. Nobody knows what my heart rate really is, unless I tell you, and you believe me. Or you get one of these gadgets in the hospital, the doctor's surgery, and you test it. You don't know what really my heart rate is. If I were to run to Tesco's and back, I'd be in a heap on the floor, and somebody tested it, it would be way up in the 160s, 170s, something like that. That's an amazing thing about our heart. The Bible uses the heart as an illustration, because we need our hearts. It's our life, isn't it? It's our life, but it keeps us going. But the Bible uses the heart as the center, as an illustration of the center of our lives. It uses the illustration of a heart rather a lot. And if you're taking notes, sometimes people take notes. If you want to know some Bible verses about heart, if you want to start writing now, here you go. There we go. One or two. I hope you're keeping up. Oh, they keep going. A few more, keep going. We're only up to the Psalms now. There they are, all of them. Oh, now we're just a bit on the New Testament. If you're watching, that was 14 seconds. There are over 800. The Bible's a bit keen on using the word heart. And that's our theme this morning, looking at the heart. How important God sees the heart. How important is using it as an illustration. Our theme this morning is the heart, of what God looks at. Now, I need the children to give me a hand to solve a little puzzle. So if the children come at the front, I might need some adults to help, not to solve the puzzle, but to hold one or two. So they'd like to come at the front and take a couple of these and then hold them up. And then we've got to try and solve the puzzle. I'll give you two each. Keep coming. Yep, it's all right. There's plenty for you to hold. Any idea what the first word might be? I'm going to be running around like crazy. What might the first word be?
Man.
Okay, right. What's the second word going to be? Because I don't want to do too much. Looks, right. Stay there, Jesse. Right. Right, man. Looks. Right, okay, I'm going to get fit. Now my breath will, I will get there. Man, looks, right. What could be the next two words? At. The. The. Yeah. Outward. Appearance. Wonderful. But, yeah, but, the, yep, Lord, oh, you're doing well.
Looks,
thank you, Jesse, you're a star, wonderful. Right, the Lord looks at the heart. Hang on, we've got a but there somewhere. Where have I missed it? Oh, hang on, we've got to shuffle the long one, right, here we go. Here we go. Handpiece. No, that one. Oh, now are we correct? Right. Fantastic. Right. Okay, right. Shall we all say it through together? After three. One, two, three. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Fantastic. And again, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Oh, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Let's take a few away. Yeah, you keep that. Okay. And again, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Right, let's take... Nah, I think you're too clever. Let's take them all away. Okay. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Give yourselves a round of applause, especially the ones at the front. Fantastic. Let me read to you a couple of verses from the book of Ezekiel. And no, I'm not going to talk to you for 30 minutes. We're going to look, split up into some very, very short talks. And for the intelligent children, there are going to be some words and some scriptures. And for the adults who need pictures, I've got some pictures on the screen. All right? There we go. Ezekiel chapter 9, 11. I put 13, it's chapter 11. It's chapter 13. I'll put 11 up there. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them a heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Have you ever thought, why is the Bible so thick? Have you noticed? Have you looked at the Bible and thought, the Bible's a bit thick, isn't it? And that's all the adults. Children think, it's no big deal, you know. But it is. It's a big, thick book. It can be a bit scary. One of the reasons the Bible is so thick, it talks about particularly the people of Israel and later people as well, is because the people have this problem. They have a divided heart. God's desire is for us to have an undivided heart. And so instead of worshipping God as they should, is they went and worshipped idols and did their own thing. They did their own thing. And they got themselves into all sorts of trouble. I wonder, is God your priority? Is God my priority? Do we have the same problem? Do we have an undivided heart or do we have a divided heart? Do we have two loyalties? What's our priority? What's your priority? What's my priority in life? Do we have an undivided heart? Okay. Something for you to think about. I told you the talks were short. Any of you like playing hide and seek? One or two of you? And Easter egg hunts? Yeah, well, it's even the adults. It's not supposed to grow out of that. You see, when you get older, you grow out of these things, at least you're supposed to grow out of these things. Adults, they have to play new games. They're not much fun. Play find my wallet, find my keys, find my phone. And for some people, those of us who wear glasses all the time don't play this game. Those of us who wear glasses some of the time, it's find my glasses. Do you know where they normally are? Where's my glasses? Those are where all the time, they're always there, so it's not a problem. It's a nightmare. People can't find things. And it's always the last minute when you're trying to go out or it just disappears. And where do these things go? And whether you're playing on trying to play hide and seek, or whether you're playing find the Easter egg hunt, or trying to find an item that's gone missing, you're focused. We're all focused, whether you're 3 years of age playing hide and seek, trying to find somebody, or especially find the Easter egg hunt. It's the only thing that matters. Really, it's absolutely focused. If you lose those car keys, or especially if you lose your phone or your wallet, you absolutely tunnel vision. Got to find it. The Bible talks about seeking. Loads of verses about seeking. Got to seek, got to find. Must seek it out. And this is our next heart, seeking, a heart that seeks. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Who can tell me what Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says? Because I reckon about a third of you will know what it says. What's Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says? Yep, the plans to... It's all about prosper, isn't it? For I know the plans I have. Let me read you the whole section. It says this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Isn't that a wonderful verse of scripture? And we can all get excited. God's got a plan for me. This is brilliant. Let me read on. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And he goes on to say, I'll bring you back from captivity. You see, the problem is, that promise that everybody loves about God having plans and prosper and all the rest of it, to most Christians, it's useless. Oh, but it's a wonderful promise. Yeah, but it's useless. Because it's conditional. Because it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you come to me, we have to seek. If we want to know what God's plans are. God's got the plans, but you've got to go and find them. You've got to go and find God. We need to seek. If we want to know what God wants, seek him. Seek him with all your heart, not just part of it. Seek him with all your heart. How do we find God in the first place? Seek him. That's why we talk about people who are seekers. Seek God. Are you seeking? Am I seeking? Are we really seeking God with all of our heart? Just as we are so focused on finding that lost phone, how focused are we on seeking God? Seek God with all your heart. Okay, last one. Trusting. Let me put a verse up. Proverbs 3, verse 5. And these, I make no apologies for giving really well-known verses. Because they'll be in your heads, some of you, they'll be in your heads already. Those who don't have them in your heads, a good time to learn them. Because if you've got verses in your heads, they'll keep coming back and keep coming back, reminding you and prompting you. And you'll go away today, and they'll come back to you, and you'll lie in bed tonight, and, yeah, how am I doing that? How's God, how am I checking out with God? How's my heart with God? Because, remember, what was that verse of scripture we started with? What was the big verse? Man, or even some versions say people. In those days, he was talking to the men, because we don't know how David's mum, or possibly his sisters, who may have been stepsisters, how they would have reacted, because they may say, yeah, what about David? Man. Parents? Yeah, the Lord looks at the heart. Yeah. See, no one knows your heart. Sometimes we don't even know our own hearts. Like God. So what is God saying to you? Do we have a trusting heart? Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Matthew 28, verse 28, Jesus' last words before he ascended to heaven, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Teach them to obey everything. Do we really trust God? What are we trusting God with? Our money, our possessions, our family. How much do we trust God? And that's a challenge for you today, is to think about it. Not immediately right now, but when you go home, or tonight, or when you have a quiet time, or before you go to bed, how much do I really trust God? Do we have open hands with God? Say, Lord, take me, use me. What have I got? What do you want me to do? How much do I trust you? How much, from the youngest to the oldest? Sometimes it means going against the grain, doing something different, befriending the unfriendless, the people without friends. How much do we really trust God? Do we have a trusting and obedient heart? Hey, there's stacks of challenges on the heart, aren't there? There's still only about 830 odd to go. I'm only going to give you four. Where are we? I want to give you, if you've any of these subjects of the heart have struck a chord, maybe more than one, come and talk to Florin. If you're younger, come and talk to one of your leaders. Talk to your mum and dad. Ask them to pray with you. Talk to them. Florin would love to talk to you. That's his job. That's what he gets paid for. But even if he didn't get paid, he'd still want to talk to you. Come and share. Come and ask. But I want to give you one final thought about prayer. It is about prayer, but some more verses from Scripture. A couple of verses. But Jesus came to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. He comes to heal the brokenhearted. One of the things that Jesus, some of you may be hurting. Some of you may be struggling. That's what Jesus came to do. And if you want prayer, if you're going through a hard time, if you're struggling, do come receive prayer afterwards. Because we're only too willing to help. And if we help you to receive God's help, God's love. And there's another one too. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." Jesus gives peace like no one else. He can bring peace. He can bring love. He can bring assurance. He can bring relief from trouble like no one else. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, thank you that you want to minister to our hearts now. Lord, whatever you've said to us individually, Lord, all our hearts are different. We're all at different places in life. Some of us, we need to get our hearts right, to not be double-minded, not to have divided hearts. Lord, if that's the case, show us how we can be wholehearted for you. Some of us need hearts that are clean. Lord, give us all clean hearts, just as David desired to have that clean heart, to have that renewed joy of salvation. Lord, grant us the desire to seek wholeheartedly after you, to find you for the first time, or to find your plans and purposes for life, to seek after your will. Lord, may we be people who trust you, who are obedient to your will and obedient to your calling. And Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who is brokenhearted, who's going through a hard time, a difficult time. Lord, may they know your peace. May they experience your love in a greater and deeper way than ever before. Minister to them by your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.